You guys should see a little red dot somewhere up by recording. Mine is on the upper left, so that then you guys know things are being recorded. Okay, and then Nicholas is going to share his screen and he'll introduce himself so we make sure we have that in the recording.
All right. Okay. All right, well, thank you, Sharon. And thank you for everybody for being flexible for this meeting. I greatly appreciate it. And I always enjoy getting to see everybody. So it's good we can still kind of do that, but obviously with a little bit of different technology. But to start out, for those of you who do not know me, my name is Nick Macklem, and I work for Hubbard County in the Environmental Services Department. I'm an environmental specialist there, so I spend most of my time doing AIS type work with the AIS program, but also some zoning tasks as well. And I'm here to kind of give a brief overview of our 2020 watercraft inspection program and what's that going to look like with, in light of the latest COVID pandemic that we have here. And it's been kind of a crazy time the last month and a half here for everybody. So all we can do is our best to adjust and keep moving forward. But to start out, I'm going to talk a little bit about some of the AIS infested waters updates that we found out last year. And then, you know, talk a little bit about where we're currently at with our season getting underway here. And then provide some updates regarding our decontamination station, and then also funding and budgetary updates, as well as some slight changes to the schedule. All right, so to start out here with some AIS infested waters update information, in 2019, the main confirmed infestations were with three lakes with faucet snails. That was Fourth Crow Wing, Duck Lake, and then also Upper Bottle Lake. So faucet snails have been around in the county here for a number of years now, and they're continuing to spread, and seems like they've crept up that crow wing chain over the past couple of years, and now are getting into some of our other area lakes. So it's certainly something we want to do our due diligence to help prevent that spread. So this is where we're currently at for 2020. So we did have some COVID-related training delays to start our season. We weren't able to get training going because obviously with the pandemic, we couldn't have a meeting with 60 inspectors, you know, in a small basement meeting room with the health crisis that was going on. So the DNR had to figure out some new ways to train our folks. And this year it went, I think, as smooth as it possibly could have gone. The DNR had an online training option, and majority of returning inspectors, I've heard positive feedback that they enjoyed that avenue and it worked well. The new inspectors, I mean, obviously they didn't have a hands-on portion, so we supplemented that with some further hands-on training. But as for this year, we have 48 level one inspectors, and they were out on fishing opener. So we were able to get everybody trained in, you know, in that first, in a really short window. We had about a week before fishing opener when the training was announced. But like I said, we had some follow-up with our new folks on May 15th, where they got to shadow along with a returning inspector that has experience and kind of got to learn the ropes out actually in at the public launch, as opposed to just watching videos online. So, so update on our decontamination station. Currently we are temporarily closed, but we are going to be opening up here in the near future. And we're still located between the transfer station and the detail shop, where we have been the last several years. And it's still the same process on call 7 days a week and the same phone number as previous years. Now, the main reason that we are not open yet for DECON is there is also some of those training delays that we had with our level one training. We're experiencing the same thing with level two and aren't able to have, the DNR isn't able to provide a hands-on training for our folks. So currently we're going through the online training process and working to get our inspectors trained as quickly as possible, but also want to make sure that they're not rushed into the season, and I'll be having some follow-up in-person trainings for the level two people. But we luckily have four returning inspectors, and that was one thing that the DNR this year, they're not allowing new level two inspectors to get trained just because of the changes to the training procedure. And so we're pretty lucky that we do have those returning inspectors, because I know there are several counties in the northern part of the state that I know do not have returning inspectors. So at in the near future here, we will at least have a DECON station, but it's as soon as possible as of right now. So and then some things to note with funding, in regards to supplemental funding, we had a great response from all of the lake associations and townships. As you can see, for 2020, we had over $100,000 from lake associations contributed to our program, and those are going straight towards inspection hours at the public access. And then in addition to that, we also had just over $40,000 from townships and cities within Hubbard County that contributed, and those also are going straight towards inspection hours at public access. So a huge thank you to all the lake associations and then townships and cities, and I know how much number of the lake association work with not only myself but with their townships and city officials to get those funds. So a huge thank you to all of those contributing parties. And then what that equates to is, yeah, roughly just under $150,000 for additional inspection hours, and equates to about 7,000 additional inspection hours. And so the next thing I'm going to get into here is a little bit about some of the changes we're having to make to, at the county level, to our budgets. So due to the COVID-19 pandemic, the county board decided that each department would need to cut expenses by about 20% just because of the financial uncertainty going forward here. The county board isn't sure how those initial tax returns are going to come back. And so we're trying to save as much as we can on expenses. And so in those budget cuts, our bulk of our expenses are within, are going towards inspections. So there is going to be slight reductions in some of those, the state funded hours that the county's providing. And also that's going to also equate to some reduction in our lead inspector coverage and resort outreach program that we have had. Last year was our first big year of kicking that off with our lead inspector, and she was going out to the various resorts and outreaching them and seeing what they needed and how we can help them. And unfortunately, due to those cuts, those visits will be very limited, and it will mostly be myself that's conducting that outreach, but we'll still be there and still be going out to the resorts that outreach us and ask questions. So we're definitely encouraging people, if questions do come up, feel free to ask, and I'm making myself available to go out and meet with those resorts. As I say that, though, all the Lake Association Township funded inspection hours, though, that those funds aren't being touched. They're being specifically devoted towards the amount of hours that were contributed for. So those hours are still going to be worked according to plan. And so now what this will equate to also on the scheduling side of things is we're still going to have a pretty far reach throughout the county. We'll be on 34 lakes inspecting at 36 different boat launches. There's a few lakes that have multiple accesses. But this cuts down our schedule from originally we were sitting at around 15,000 hours, and now it's cutting it down to about 13,000 scheduled inspection hours. So we're still sitting pretty good, and we do have a lot of hours available. And the bulk of the shifts that were removed were either right at the beginning of this season when we had those training delays, so shifts would have been missed or were missed anyways. So a lot of that came from there. Otherwise, we're cutting down some of the midweek shifts where we see lower traffic. We front-loaded those cuts in the schedule just because the AIS risk tends to be higher for zebra mussels in the later July, August timeframe. And same with the plant growth isn't occurring as much in the earlier part of the season when we have pulled some of these shifts. So that's part of our strategy on which shifts were cut. And there is now an updated schedule, though, and updated state-funded hours on the Hubbard County AIS webpage. So I would encourage everybody to take a look at that if you're curious about how your lake specifically is affected. But other than that, we are still continuing our AIS advertisements on local radios here, and then we still did partner with Hubbard Cola on some billboard that's over on 71. It's a nice, clean, drain, dry wildlife forever billboard. And then we also partnered with Cola on a movie theater ad. Obviously, movie theaters aren't open, but we are. We've been told that ad will still be running once they do get the word that they can open up. So we're still having our community outreach out there, and we're still going to be making our best effort to get the word out about the clean, drain, and dry best management practices. But with that, I think I'm going to end my talk here and open it up to questions.
Okay. And we do have some questions, Nicholas.
Okay.
Okay. The first one is, how does the state funding work for inspectors? And does the state earmark funds to Hubbard County dedicated for the purpose of inspectors?
So our state funds, that's part of the AIS prevention aid. $10 million is given to local governments every year for the use of AIS prevention. That is what this year roughly we're supposed to be receiving roughly $260,000 in funds. Half of that getting dispersed to us in the next couple of months here, and then the second half towards the end of the year. How we determine our the state funded hours, that's a lot based off of inspection survey data, and over time we've used that data to build up the amount of hours per lake. How we decided, I guess, to change those hours this year was due to the we're based on the lower traffic times at lower traffic days or lower traffic lakes are the where we decided to make some of those changes.
Okay, and the next question is, can the Lake Association revise their inspection schedules?
If I've already revised the schedules, but if there's particular dates that they have in question or in mind, they can certainly contact me and I can work with them on that. So I would encourage folks to take a look at the schedule, and if there's certain dates that aren't looking to that they would feel would be better, I could certainly hear them out and chat with them on that and see what would be a better alternative.
Okay, so they should just contact you on the contact information you have on the screen then?
Yep, exactly. Either email or phone, whatever works better.
Okay, and then the next question is, what does level two situation mean?
So our level two inspectors, level one inspectors are just the folks that are out at the public access inspecting boats entering and exiting. Level two inspectors are authorized to conduct decontaminations and use our hot water pressure washers to actually decontaminate boats. So it's a little bit more of an involved training and certification than the level one, obviously, just because of the fact you're operating equipment and there's more risk of injury and liability there. So there's a little bit further training, and I believe that's why there was some of these initial delays with getting that training going. But we're now working to get our folks trained and authorized as quickly as we can. It should be, I would guess, in the next week or two that our decon station would be open.
Okay. And then the next one is regarding the status of any new AIS invasions. I know that you recapped, we had faucet snails discovered last year. Mm-hmm. There's a question about a status report on Big Mantra, and are there any other lakes pending?
So nothing's been confirmed on Big Mantrap, and we're still waiting to hear further information. But I'm not aware of any other other pending things out there. But the three that were listed in the earlier in the PowerPoint are the ones that are confirmed.
Okay, and then there's a question. Let's see. About like last year was close to 7,000 hours, and they were thinking there was a jump in hours, but actually so now you're at 13,000 hours. That's for the whole county.
So for the total hours, we went from, I believe it was like 15,500 roughly to now that 13,000. But if it talking just state hours, I believe it was at roughly like 8,600 and is now around 6,000. So that would be the changes then for state hours versus the total amount of hours. But the Lake Association and Township amount of hours, that's staying the same.
Okay. And then there's a question about the county. Are they still going to contribute $30,000 again this year?
So that was part of our cut in expenses was the $35,000 that we received from the county levy. And then the other portion is that 75% of my wage is now being funded by the AIS budget as well, which it had been previously to me being hired on, but after the first year it had been shifted to all environmental services budget. So that's to cut the expenses of environmental services a bit. And so everybody's kind of having to juggle things around in their budget a little bit to meet that 20% expense cut.
Okay, and then can you advise about the reduction of the hours? Like, were all the lakes, are they experiencing the same reduction, or kind of what was the thought behind determining how the hours were reduced?
So it's based off of, generally it's based off of the same percentage for those lakes. However, in certain cases, some of the lesser trafficked lakes were cut more significantly. So it really kind of varies from lake to lake. But I tried to be as fair across the board as possible, but also had to take into account traffic levels and that the volume of traffic certainly played a huge role in that.
Okay. I think I've asked the questions. Does anybody else have Any other questions? Okay. So I will I'll stop the recording then. Thank you.
Sharon? Yeah. Sharon, this is Ken. You know, I have to leave for another meeting here, but I just want to thank Nicholas for all his work and for communicating with us what's going on. I know it's a tough time, but thanks for all the good work you do, Nick.
No problem.
Yes. And Ken, since you have to leave, be sure and type your votes into the chat. Anybody else that has to leave for the other options for the business meeting. Thank you. Okay, I'll turn off the recording now.
All right. And I'll pass the screen.